Let's all turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128, and let's read the verses here together. Six short verses. Every verse is very meaningful. Let's read it with our spirit. Amen. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. I always like the ending. Peace be upon Israel.
Amen.
We see this in almost every chapter. It's really important.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like in this conference, we are mountain climbing. We are on stage 3, and tonight we're on the last section of the third stage. And as we've seen so far, this third stage, we are laborers together with God for His purpose. Last night we saw concerning the captivity of Zion. We need to turn the captivity of Zion. This morning we saw that only the Lord is able to build the house. If the Lord does not build, we build in vain. Tonight, the title here says, Enjoying the Goodness of Jerusalem. Amen. The enjoyment of the goodness of Jerusalem comes with a condition. And this condition is spelled out very clearly in verse 1. It says, Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Yes. The fear of the Lord is really a matter of obedience, that we must walk according to the Lord's ways. Learning obedience is a very difficult lesson, but yet is a very important lesson if we desire to build up the church to satisfy God. If we just want to build anything, then we can do whatever we want. But if we want to build the church, we must be obedient to the Lord's speaking. So today, it's very healthy for us not only to love the Lord, but also to fear the Lord. Yeah. Most Christians know we need to love the Lord. But not too many Christians like to talk about fearing the Lord. But when we come to the building of the church, we need to have a healthy fear for the Lord. This is really important for our going on. So Psalm 128 here says, we should fear the Lord. And then it repeats again in verse 4, Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. In case we didn't get it in verse 1, the emphasis is here again in verse 4. Yeah. As we read earlier in the conference, in Hebrews 12, it says, Therefore, verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. It's really important. We are building an unshakable kingdom. And to build this kingdom, we must have reverence and godly fear. Not just any kind of fear, but godly fear. Godly men have godly fear. We need to have the fear of the Lord. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. In Philippians 2, verse 12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Amen. Paul charges us to obey the Lord and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, every time I stand up here, I am in fear and trembling. Not because I'm afraid of public speaking, because I do this at work every day with a lot of patience, so I'm used to it. But to speak in front of the people of God, that's a completely different matter. We must have fear and trembling, right? Before the Lord, we cannot just say anything that we want. We must speak what the Lord tells us to speak. It's very serious. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." This word is for the Christians, not for the unbelievers. "Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." We all know about the love of the Lord. The Bible here talks about the terror of the Lord. Right? "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." Paul is speaking a very frank word. We need to have the proper fear of the Lord. Not that we would be scared of him and we would be afraid to come to him. I'm not trying to make you scared of the Lord, but so that we would obey him. This is really important. If we have a healthy fear of the Lord, then before we do anything, we would check the Lord. "Lord, is this your will?" And if it's no, then we shouldn't do it. It's really important. What we need to be afraid of is our flesh, because our flesh is too wild. And it can do things sometimes that very much will displease the Lord. That's what we need to be afraid of, right? That we would act in the flesh. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." It's very good for brothers in the church, especially those who are serving, we should have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in our abilities. No confidence in our capabilities. We have our confidence is in the living God.
Amen.
Yeah. I want to give you two examples why this is so important. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. I'll just read you the first three verses. Okay, it says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offer profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified.' So Aaron held his peace. Can you imagine this? Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they thought it would be a good idea to take a censer and put fire and put incense on it. And it says, offer profane fire. Other translation calls it strange fire, which the Lord had not commanded them to do. Then fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. That's why Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. It's really dangerous when we are dealing with the work of the Lord to do things that we feel, oh, that would be a good idea. And this is the result. Imagine these are Aaron's two sons. Imagine if you were Aaron and you saw your two sons being burnt and devoured by the Lord right in front of you. And says at the end, so Aaron held his peace. Because God's purpose came first. It was a terrible example, yet it was an example that needed to be done. Even Aaron was no exception, a high priest. His own two sons were made examples of what not to do when we disobey the Lord. It's really important for us to see the example in the Word. Also, let's turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Do you have it? Amen. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation and the animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Yeah. The mistake that Moses made here cost him the good land. He struck the rock twice. The Lord told him to do it how many times? Once. Yeah. It's not like he struck the wrong rock, but he did it twice. The Lord told him once. And because of that, he lost his chance. He spoke to the rock. Yeah. That's right, I'm sorry. To speak to the rock, not to strike the rock. Yes. So it's quite serious to do something that the Lord did not tell us to do. Right? This is really an example for us to learn. Yeah. We need to learn. And so today our fear of the Lord practically has to do with, I think, mainly two things. One is our speaking, and the other is our decision making. And these two things are very important in our obedience to the Lord. And this requires maturity in life. The other day, I invited a family with two small children to my house for lunch. And afterwards, the younger one says, thank you. The older one says, Uncle Sam, I really enjoy the lunch that you prepare for me. I had a lot of fun, and I would like to come back again. It takes maturity to speak in this kind of way. Yes. When we are young, we cannot make our own decisions. We don't know what is good for us. But when we are growing in the Lord, when we are more mature in life, then we would know how to make the proper choices, how to follow the Lord, how to choose the Lord. And as we share this conference, our tongue is really, really important. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Amen. Often, when we speak so freely and so loosely. And as soon as the words come out of our mouth, there is some grieving going on inside. And we just can't help it. We have to say it because it makes us feel good to say it. Right? But afterwards, the Holy Spirit has no amen. Right? We need to really use our tongue and our mouth wisely. Right? It could cause a fire, or it could produce edification for the building up of the church. So the verse goes on, "By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But instead, be kind with one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So if someone speaks evil of you, you don't have to speak evil of him. You forgive him and swallow the things that you want to say, because the Spirit is telling you, don't say it. Right? If you say something and she says something, then pretty soon it becomes a battle, and then it becomes a war. Our words are really important. Yes. So may the Lord sanctify our speaking. Especially as responsible brothers, it's really important for us to share what the Lord gives to us and not to add anything nor to take away anything. As we share, whatever we add, it then becomes leaven. And leaven then mixes up the whole lump. Eventually, you have to throw the whole thing away. In Revelation 22, at the end, the Lord says, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life. It's really serious, right? Yeah. Today, there are so many leaven, you know. We are saved to go to heaven. Where did that come from in the Bible? Right? Worshipping Virgin Mary. Where is that? Mary is not a virgin. Gave birth to two other children. But these things are mixed up, and eventually God's people are led astray. So we need to be careful. Do not adulterate the truth. Yes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 says, "For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." And this word peddling is also translated as adulterating the word of God. You know, fine wine is very expensive. Those of you who drink wine, you know, right? Some bottles could be several thousand dollars. So sometimes people try to add water into the wine to dilute it so they can bottle it and sell it. And eventually, it's not expensive anymore. Sometimes we like to sugarcoat the word to make it easier for people to take. And as we heard, there are certain terms and phrases that Christians don't like to say because it may offend people. Like to fear the Lord, to take the cross, to deny the self, to lose your soul life, sin, sinners, and the following chapter that we will cover tomorrow morning, to suffer for Christ. But these are things in the Word, and it is really necessary for our building up. And we cannot twist it, turn it, sugarcoat it. There's no way around it. We need to speak the truth. Right? That's why Ephesians 4:15 says, "By speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." So in our speaking, let us seek to please God and not to be man-pleasers, especially on so many issues like Babylon and gay marriage. These issues are very clear in the Bible. God judges these things. We cannot play politics and avoid. We need to be clear, right? Not with eye service as man-pleasers. This is Ephesians 6:6. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Today is really important. The Lord needs to raise up the proper ministers of the Word. We all need to learn how to share the Word in order for the building up of the church. We all need to be the faithful ministers of the new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Amen. If we are faithful to minister what the Spirit tells us to do, it will give life. If we fear the Lord, He will abundantly bless us. Not physical blessings, but heavenly and spiritual blessings. Right? That's why this chapter is titled "Enjoying the Goodness of Jerusalem." There are a lot of goodness here. Right? Verse 2 says, "You shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." You know, in my personal life, things really didn't turn out the way I wanted to. But before the Lord, I have to be honest, I really truly could say today, I'm happy. I'm content. It is well with me. Like the song that we sang, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Right? If we seek to please the Lord, then when we sleep at night, we can sleep good, right? And it's well. Right? But if we try to seek all these worldly, physical things, and the Lord is not happy, then we are not happy. Right? We are truly happy when the Lord is happy. Right? So, this is really a picture, first, of the Lord Jesus. He learned obedience, as we share in Hebrews 5:7, the Lord learned obedience. But the verse prior to that, it says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death." There you go, tears again. Our Lord Jesus, it says, with vehement cries. How many times have we had vehement cries when it comes to the Lord's purpose? We have vehement cries when things don't go our way at home or at work. But if the church is not going well, do we cry out to the Lord, Lord Jesus, help us. Right? We need to do this. The Lord cried out for his people's sake, not for himself. We all need to experience vehement cries and tears. Cry out to the Lord. Yeah. The Lord in Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What a wonderful example we have of someone who is absolutely obedient to the Father. He is our burnt offering. Right? We need to lay our hands on him. We need to experience such a wonderful Christ. Yes. It's also a picture of what a proper church life should be. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine, very heart of your house. The children like olive plants all around your table. Everything is living, right? Fruitful vines, olive plants. This is what we call the church life. Not just church, but church life. I'm so happy in this lovely place, in the garden, growing in his grace. May the Lord bless all the churches, that the church life would be very healthy, right? The Lord says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Yeah. Amen, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful picture of the church life. It goes on, verse 5, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. These blessings out of Zion are really for the benefit of Zion, not for your own benefit. So don't pray to be rich. Yeah, we're not preaching the gospel of prosperity here. We're praying for the benefit of Zion. Right? There are so much blessings we have experienced. Ephesians 1:3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All these blessings, every spiritual blessing, is for us to claim, for us to enjoy. Claim it for the benefit of Zion. Right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Yes. In the church life is really our testimony. We enjoy all these wonderful blessings, and we can claim them. Yeah. So we are here for the building up of the church in order to satisfy God's heart's desire. We're not here to gain something for ourselves. We need to seek for heavenly and spiritual blessings. Yes. It's a wonderful chapter. It ends with peace be upon Israel. Right? As we heard last night, today we are the real Israel. Right? We are the descendants of Abraham. Right? The blessings are for us. If we learn to fear the Lord and obey him, then the church can be built up. Over these last 30 years, I have seen a lot, countless number of things that have happened. I'm not going to go into enumerate. I've learned so many things, many of them from my own mistakes. Yet through them, I learn. I am continuing to learn, and we need to learn obedience. We need to learn to fear the Lord and not to do anything presumptuously, thinking that we're helping the Lord. when we are causing so much problem for the Lord, right? So may we all learn to fear the Lord, because then we will get to enjoy the goodness of God here in Jerusalem, right? Amen. May the Lord bless you all. Amen. And may you all be for Zion, right? Amen. We're all here for the benefit of Zion. Amen. Praise the Lord.